The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Right now, though, we're going to talk about genealogy. Because with us here in News Talk Towers is something of an amateur genealogy expert. It is Mairéad O'Sullivan, who's producer of Talking History. Mairéad, where did this obsession come from for you?
Well, I was very close with my grandmother growing up, and I was really interested to learn more about her and her family. So I started off with my great-granddad, who had a crazy life, basically, fought in the First World War. I heard about him moving to England as a kid, taking his bike on the boat and heading over there and starting a whole new life. So I really just wanted to build up my bank of knowledge. And once I got started, I couldn't stop. Really.
So how did you get started?
Well, I guess I started sort of as a 12-year-old, basically writing down what I knew from my great-grandmother's brother, who was still alive at the time. And so that was really just writing down a family chart of the relatives that he remembered. But then as I grew older, I started to document that in Ancestry.com, which is essentially an online database that you can fill in yourself, and you can build that up using the information that's out there, like census records and birth deaths, marriage records, etc. So it's a really nice way to kind of showcase what the information is that you have.
So on Ancestry.com, then, is there information itself there that you can source, or is it just about collating your own information?
It's a bit of both.
Okay.
I find sometimes when I chat to people about doing family history, they kind of expect that you input your name and that all the information will just come back to you.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping.
It's so easy. But actually, it's a case of you input the information that you think you know. You then go about verifying that, ideally with as many sources as you can.
Yes.
And then you can use the likes of Ancestry to then perhaps access paid records and see what they have, in addition to using the free records that are also out there.
Okay, so tell me then about some of the stuff you would have written down, your great uncle would have told you about or whatever, that then you had to go off and verify, or you had to build on, or how you go about it.
Yeah. So my great granduncle, Jimmy, told me that we had, for example, two sets of triplets in his family and three sets of twins. And I was like, right, okay. I'm going to go about and seeing, you know, for example, from the census, you know, what were his parents' names and what were their siblings, and right, like kind of compare the information that I was told so that I knew what was fact from fiction.
Yeah.
So I love doing that because, for example, in the censuses, even though there aren't that many of them, there's only the 1901 and 1911 census currently available, and the 1926 is due to be released next year, which I'm very excited about. But they offer you a treasure trove of information that you can look at, and you might feel like finding out more about your ancestors, it may not be that appealing to you, but I think once you actually start looking at the information that you can see on there, and you start building up this picture of a family that existed that is biologically connected to you, potentially, it just brings it all to life.
So you've brought in, say, some copies here of, say, the 1901 and 1911 census.
Yeah.
So you get this information from your great-granduncle, there's triplets and there's twins galore in the family. And what are you looking for then? You're looking for the names in the census and kind of records of children in the house and what have you that might correspond to what he's told you, is it?
Absolutely. Like, for example, I didn't realise that one of my great-grandfathers was actually married twice. So
at the same time?
No. So unfortunately,
that would have been a great one.
I know, that would have been amazing. But
me.
Sadly, his first wife passed away, but actually I was then able to build up a whole story about her life and her family that I hadn't known about at all, and neither had most of my family either, to be honest. So it's actually a really interesting way to, you know, you might know something about your great-granddaughter, you might have heard one story, but you can just build up all this information. But for example, looking at the 1901 census, you can also even compare the family that you have in front of you with, like, their neighbours. So, for example, someone in your family might have been illiterate. You can see here that my family, in this particular example, can all read and write, which is amazing. But they also tell you, you know, the names and ages of all the kids. They tell you their occupation, which you can see here are farmers. They say scholars, which initially confused me, but actually that's basically like they're in school.
Okay.
And they tell you whether they can speak Irish and English. They tell you if they've been married. And then in the 1901 census, the 1911 census, they tell you for how long they've been married. So there's just a massive amount of information. And then that's on form A. Then form B, there's a couple of forms within that which give you even more information about the households. So say, for example, there's the house and building return, which tells you even down to how many windows were in the house, what kind of roof and walls they had.
Oh, wow.
They also give you the out offices and farm settings, which, for example, highlight whether there was like a cow house or a piggery. And it really allows you to build up, particularly if you're from like a rural background, what kind of potential farm your ancestor might have had. And you get a real sense in terms of their economic status as well, which I find really interesting.
So you can get all of this then from the census. And then what other records? Because you've brought in records to do with births, deaths and marriages. So then you're using what stuff you find out in this or people's names to then go to the births, deaths and marriages and find out more about them, is it?
Yeah. Essentially, you're just trying to collate as much as you can, going off of, say, your original chart with what you think you know, and you're then verifying it with all these records. So there's a website called irishgenealogy.ie that offers you the civil records and the church records, which are all freely available. You can filter those by name, date and location, and you can click through to the original, to the PDF to see the original form. And that I find really interesting. So you have the birth records from 1864 to 1924, the marriage records from 1845 to 1949, and the death register records run from 1871 to 1974. So I find those really interesting as well, because as you can see here, the beautiful handwriting alone even is great to look at.
I know, isn't it amazing?
But you get the likes of, for example, on the birth cert there, you can see the informant of the birth, which might also give you another potential relative there on that. Looking at the marriage certificate, that will tell you their residence at the time of the marriage, as well as the father's name and surname of both spouses. Unfortunately, mothers weren't recorded on the marriage cert back in those days. But that gives you yet another generation.
That's so funny.
I know, it's absolutely mad. And even when you look at a lot of the wives, their profession isn't recorded. It's just not important.
I was on death. Sleva, labourer, farmer, wife of farmer, wife of farmer. That's a good job to have, wife of farmer. And they have a small farmer, as distinct from farmer, here on one of the births, the father's occupation. Small farmer, quite literally, probably owned a huge amount of acreage. You know what they're like, these farmers, tell them nothing. Shop assistant, manager of cooperative store. And yeah, as you say, the kind of profession of what the wife is doing, there's just a scratch, a line through it.
Yeah. It's fascinating. And I mean, even you can even go beyond your own family. And I find it really interesting to compare it to other families in the region or on that forum, because you just get such an insight into the Irish population.
So all is this free to access, those census and births, deaths and marriages registry? And then what about all the stuff online? You know, like genealogy.com, you mentioned ancestry.com. There's all these ads you see online and on TV and radio and elsewhere telling us there's a huge amount of information we can access that way. Is that, how good is all that?
It is. It does have its merits.
Okay.
Now, I think if you're going to start this journey, I think really try and start with the free records. I don't think you need to have to pay for everything to be able to do this well. I think you can really take advantage of the free records, but the ones that you do pay for, you know, can be worth it if you feel the need. For example, I've done the DNA testing. It's great crack.
Well, what did it tell you about yourself?
It's just mad. Like, I mean, it tells you, not only does it give you matches of other people that have done DNA tests.
Yes.
So it can.
That's how they found the Zodiac killer, wasn't it? You're not related to a serial killer, are
not
you?
Not as far as I haven't found out that yet. But that would be fascinating.
Okay.
But it can give you potential other familial matches, but also it tells you, like, your traits. You know, for example, if you have a big second toe, it tells you that. Things like that. It's just mad.
Does
and
it
also tells you if that comes from your mom's side or your dad's side. So things like that. It's just like absolute, just hilarious.
And sorry, but when you did it, did it connect you to other people then in that database?
Yeah.
And were any of these connections that you didn't know about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Which is fascinating. And
And how far, like, were they kind of very, very, very distant?
A combination of both. So I would get people, like, you know, very closely related, and also like third, fourth cousins. And it gives you an insight into kind of what sort of familial connection they are as well. Yeah, what kind of cousin they are to you.
Okay. And that, I guess, once you have that connection, it probably allows you then to fill in some of the blank spaces in between. Or if this person's my third cousin on my dad's side, it means we've got whatever great, great, great grandparent in common, and you can just work your way back to them.
And similarly, when you fill in your family tree on Ancestry, which you can do for free, it also pops up if people have similar names to you. Now, I would just caution that with people might put something into their family tree that they haven't verified, so it might be incorrect. But potentially, you might also build up your family tree by connecting with other people who have the same relatives.
Oh, so it'll match. It'll realise, got Marais's family tree here and Kieran's. Actually, these two branches completely intersect.
Yeah.
And they'll let you know about it.
Well, they'll say you might have this person who I know was born in 1900 with this name, and then I might have the same information. So they'll go, hey, potentially Marais and Kieran, you're cousins, which would be lovely.
Yeah. Well, everyone in Ireland is cousins. We probably are, Marais. We probably are. That's the reality of it. Is it expensive if people want to go beyond the free records as a hobby?
It can be. So, for example, if you want to take out a monthly subscription to Ancestry, which would give you, obviously you can filter this depending on what you want, whether you just want UK and Irish records or more than that. I tend to go for the international records because it just gives you everything.
Yeah.
That's a monthly fee of €21.
Okay.
Now, theoretically, you can cancel that after a month, but it does give you all their international records, their international collections. So it is a valuable resource as well, I find.
And how good are the records? You know, there's this, one of the great yarns in the Civil War is that, you know, when the forecourts were kind of obliterated, so much of our public records went up in smoke as well. I mean, is that true? Is that a barrier you run into if you're into this in Ireland?
Yeah. You can only ever go back so far with Irish records, which is such a shame. But then it just makes the ones that we have so much more valuable, and they are trying to build up, and there's a virtual treasury of some of the records that went up in smoke in terms of what they were able to find that were left over.
Okay.
So there are some small fragments still out there. But I think it just makes the ones that we have, as I say, so much more valuable.
And have you ever found yourself then wandering around kind of the back offices of different churches around the country as well? Have you? Okay.
I'm like, Dad, it's time to go to another graveyard.
So there are, like churches individually would hold records as well. And I guess there's diocesan records everywhere as well. They're probably, you know, if somebody went around the work of digitizing them all, it'd be incredible, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And actually, that's one of the reasons I love doing family history, because there are such beautiful communities that build up around this.
People
get so invested. It's brilliant. Like there's an online website called Find a Grave, where people literally just go around and take photos of headstones and graves. And it could be like in America. So you might not be able to go there, but someone, you can put in to say, I would like a photograph of this grave so I can see what information's on it. And someone will take some time out of their day to go down and get that for you, which I think is so nice.
Yeah, that is a nice thing to do. Why do you do it? What have you learned about yourself? What's the point of it all?
I guess the point of it is that at some point, none of us are going to be here. And I love the idea that it's this story that you can pass on to other generations, whether you have your own family or not. It's such a valuable thing for people down the line to be able to avail of. Like, I would have loved if some of my ancestors had done this. You know, and we're so lucky with, you know, everything being online as well these days, and being our world is so much more open now. But I think it's such a lovely thing to have as a family, as an individual, to be able to say, this is like the story of where we've been. And, you know, whether you've relatives like in Ireland or all across the world, you're able to tell their stories. And some of them might be completely forgotten, but by writing it down and by recording it, you have that information for posterity.
Well, listen, I'd wager some people at home now are probably thinking, you know what, I'm gonna give this a whirl, having listened to that. So, Marais, listen, thanks a million for all of that. And Marais O'Sullivan is producer of Talking History here on News.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.